listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Welcome. Greetings. It is Fox Football Sunday. Mike Harmon, George Reister with you. George, Oregon Duck, NFL tight end. He's going to break it all down. He is my teammate here on Sunday morning. Pleased to have you in, buddy. How are you?
Man, I'm happy to be here. It's pretty early in the morning on the West Coast. This is where having a newborn kid makes everything so much easier.
It's your own training camp.
Yeah, exactly, because you never know what time you'll be up in the morning, but you must be ready for whatever the day brings.
Head on a swivel. We got one game in the books. We've got 15 more beauties to go. I celebrate all 256. George, it's a running joke on the show I do during the week with Jason Smith, and he's like, yeah, just say it. Like, no, because each one is a gem. It's not always going to be pretty.
What? That doesn't make them a gem. Sometimes it's almost like when you have a family, and you have to have some family meetings, you have to have talks or whatever with your kids. All of them are not pretty. All of them are not nice. But sometimes they're necessary.
Right, but they're part of the experience. They're part of you makes you celebrate the good times that much more.
Mike, so if you could watch all 256 games,
and
you
I will.
Would. You would.
I do.
Every single
NFL
from cover
game
to
pass
cover.
Is my extra piece to make it, you know, I'm not just speaking from box scores.
Okay, so
while I'm yelling on air, I will go back and I will watch, I don't know, let's pick out Arizona's game today. Yeah, I want to watch Kyler Murray. Most folks are just going to watch highlights of Kyler Murray. They don't really care to watch all 60 minutes of that.
It depends on the game, and it depends on the matchup, because I'm a matchup guy. Mm-hmm. I want to see intriguing games,
sure.
Games that are fun and interesting.
We have a whole slate.
We've
got some great stuff today.
But aside from that, I'm on Sundays when I get home, I'm going to be on one television. I'm going to have the Red Zone. And then another television, I'm going to be flipping back and forth between two games that I really find interesting and intriguing.
Sure. And then that's just it. In live action, that's how I handle it.
Yeah.
But then you can go back and watch it, sans commercials, after they're done. And you see how fast an NFL game is done. But I want to go back, and I do go back and I watch them all. And I do the fantasy analysis and rankings and everything. I want to speak from some position of actually watching it as opposed to just the analytics that someone's going to give me, right? And here's the box score, et cetera.
Yeah, because that
or
involves
even the breakdown
no,
there.
That involves no nuance because you can see a box score and not fully understand how these things translated. And we were talking earlier about the Bears-Packers game on Thursday,
right?
And you were talking about the narrative that was going to be played on Friday. And it played out exactly how you thought it was. Instead of it saying, well, the narrative turned out, oh, Green Bay's defense is awesome. This is could be an underrated special defense this year. But in reality, Mitch Trubisky was just bad.
People
didn't want to say that.
He missed a number of throws. And no, but what's funny, people were talking out of both sides is what happened was. Mitch Trubisky's not your franchise guy, and the Green Bay Packer defense is elite. So it's all right. Which lane are we going to go down? But he missed a number of throws. Go back and watch it. Just number of lanes that he missed. He was a beat off time and time again. And Matt Nagy got off the hook.
Yeah,
right? He got off the hook again. We skewered him on the show for his post game comments where he eschewed what would have been a 46-yard and then a 51-yard field goal, taking it to delay a game, going for it on fourth down, and just said, "Well, you know, we looked at our charts and it wasn't there." It's like, why is this guy employed as a kicker then?
Yep.
Just go without one.
If you can't run your kicker out there in mild conditions, it's different if it's a gale force winds, 20, 30 mile an hour winds, then you don't want to send him out there for a 47, 49 yard field goal. But if you can't send a kicker out there in mild conditions for an under 50 yard field goal, you don't have a field goal kicker. You might as well just go for it on fourth down every single time. And I think that the part of the reason people did not want to kind of go in on Mitch Trubisky, kind of go in on Nagy, is because they did not want to be wrong. Because
sure.
So many people picked Trubisky to be a dark horse MVP candidate.
He was bet down to 40-1. Would you believe that?
That's incredible. That's incredible. I mean, it's almost.
I mean, it's Chicago money, so I mean, that always happens where it's just overbet, but. My God.
It's just as incredible as him getting picked second, Chicago trading all the way up to get him, while Mahomes and Watson are in the same draft.
Yeah, we were talking about that. We had a really, I mean, I'm just going to turn on. I got a video camera. I think going forward, we'll just tape all of that and stream it, because great conversations. But, I mean, that's number one of 256. And people, oh, it set football back 100 years. Like,
what?
I kind of like defensive, where one play's making the change of a game. I don't like blowouts and the pinball machines. If I want to do that, I'll go fire up Madden 20. And I'll do that, and I'll just wing the ball all over the place and have some fun. I like when there's a bit of a chess match. Yeah,
so
I'd like a little more offense.
You don't like the 38-42 game?
That gets old to me.
What? No, man, I am all about offense. Like, I appreciate defense. I do appreciate it. But at the same time, you have to like when the scoreboard is getting rung up, guys are making one-handed catches, unbelievable throws. And sometimes you even get that against good defenses.
Sure.
So it's fun to have it. I do agree that sometimes it can get old and that you need a good mix of them. But there's a difference between a defensive struggle and bad football.
This is absolutely true. And that, and we saw on Thursday night in game one, right? With the final that you have, you're shrugging your shoulders going, what did I watch? Right? Yep. You know the Bears' defense is good, but for one drive, Aaron Rodgers was made to look ordinary. Davante Adams was erased.
Oh, yeah.
Right? 36 yards on the game for him. Neither team wanted to run the football. Neither team could run the football.
Yep.
And, I mean, the Bears just absolutely abandoned it. Not to make it all about the Bears and me having a therapy session with you here on a Sunday morning. But it's... Look, over the 256, and it'll take 4 or 5 weeks, other than Miami, where we know where the really bad teams are in the NFL, and that separation occurs, and especially coming off of no preseason. You know, it's a mixed bag. You don't know what to expect for a lot of these teams. And I think that's good and dangerous, right, because the poison pens are going to be out if the football looks like it did Thursday night in a larger way, right? If quarterbacks are missing those windows, then it becomes an indictment on how the business of football is being conducted versus the actual players anymore.
Yeah, it almost makes you question the necessity of the preseason, because you don't have the stars play, and then when they do play, some of them get hurt. Then fans are mad. So you're saying, okay, and then when you get to week one, sometimes you get bad football. And then people are calling it bad football, but the players have to get worked in. They have to get in shape. They have to get used to playing, timing back on. So it's almost like when you look at college football, they don't have preseason games, yet they still manage to go out and the good teams win games. And in the pros, you have preseason games where the pros, the star players, don't play. So then it's still week one. You get some bad football. So stop complaining about it.
Yeah, unfortunately, with the pros, you don't get to schedule, you know, number 356 in the Division One to have a couple of ramp-up games before you get to conference. And to those teams that schedule more difficult matchups at the top, I salute you, but you're also insane.
No, are you kidding me? I will stand on a soapbox and yell to the top of my lungs about this one. I absolutely could not despise college football scheduling anymore. It is the most corrupt, like, does the fans a disservice. I made a YouTube video about this, about how I feel bad, particularly for Alabama football fans. After this season is over with, over the last 2 years, they would have played 8 out of their 24 regular season games against non-competitive teams.
No, I hate it. I abhor it. No, I don't want to see it. But that's how they schedule it, and that's how they sort through.
It's a waste of talent. I mean, and then you got Nick Saban coming up yelling on his soapbox, everybody should play 12 Power 5 games. Yeah, right. You won't even play 10.
Or yelling at the fans for leaving.
How about you schedule better?
Exactly. No, but that's just it, right? It's the damned if you do, damned if you don't kind of thing, right? Iron sharpens iron, but you get one of those losses early because you do schedule somebody good. And your team's maybe not firing as it will.
You
by
are
week
Alabama.
Five.
You are.
I'm
Alabama.
Talking at the larger scale, right? Well, obviously, Alabama's the the big shining beacon on the hill, but just for football in general. We're treated to a few good games, right? Week one, week zero, we had one, and then you get to this week, we got some more conference games mixed therein, some with some really crazy circumstance, a 2.5 hour lightning delay mixed in. I mean, you see some crazy stuff, but you still have those games, for the most part, are warm-ups, which is a preseason that the NFL teams don't get.
But wouldn't it make more sense, though, for the College Football Playoff Committee, for fans in general, to, if they scheduled better, even if your team took a loss early in the season and they played a super competitive schedule, 11 Power 5 games, maybe even 12 Power 5 games, and they lost the game, you know what people would be saying? They would say, okay, well, this is obviously one of the best teams in the country. And then you would actually have data and tangible evidence of non-conference matchups between different teams, and then you could actually come up with a real top four, and you wouldn't need to expand it to eight.
Well, we want to expand it to eight because there's more money there, George. That, and if you've got five power conferences and only four get in,
totally,
the math doesn't make any sense. It's totally fuzzy math to begin with.
Exactly.
Beautiful. We're going to talk coming up next on the show, Fox Sports Sunday. He's George Reister. At George Reister is where you find him on Twitter. Find me over at Swollen Dome. We're going to get into this Antonio Brown saga that ends with him hanging out with the hoodie, hanging out with Bill Belichick. Can't do it this week, but all the drama that took a full week of our attention, it's done in Oakland. But how do they respond? We'll find out Monday night, but we'll talk about it next. We're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio Studios. 15 minutes can save you 15% or more on your car insurance. Visit geico.com. Get yourself a free rate quote. AB and the larger football universe coming up next here on Fox. Yeah, baby. Welcome back. Fox Sports Sunday. It is a Fox Football Sunday. Mike Harmon alongside George Reister. Happy to have you with us. Later on in the morning, you'll get your Fox NFL Sunday pregame. Jay Glazer with all your sit starts in terms of injury reports and updates. You never want to miss that. We'll keep you apprised of any information as it comes down the line this morning. You got Stephon Diggs, according to reports, even with the hammy, he's going to play later on today, as we've got Minnesota-Atlanta, one of the fun games to watch. George and I are going to break them all down and take our turn and spin across the NFL. We got Dak Prescott looking for his new deal. Well, you're not getting it just yet, according to Adam Schefter. They're not expected to find a deal to its completion before the kickoff against the Giants. Well, final hours to expect that, but this one will drag out, and Dak will have to do a prove it and then pay me contract, it would seem, or perhaps later on in the year we get to that. Maybe Joe Flacco, who's in one of our featured games, is a great inspiration for the way things could break out. And I get to Joe Flacco, why they're playing the Oakland Raiders on Monday Night Football. That'll end week one, so we'll start from the back end and work our way through the schedule. And we start there because of Antonio Brown. The crazy world of Arthur Brown, I Am the God of Hellfire, that was a big song back in the 60s. You could look it up on YouTube. Great video. Really crazy, a lot of screaming. This week was the crazy world of Antonio Brown. It was better than any soap opera you could have watched in the afternoon, because you never knew where the next turn was going to take you. All the social media outbursts over the course of the week. You had the feigned apology, which I envisioned as Antonio Brown, as he was saying that apology, it was like Heath Ledger was standing there against that pile of money in the Dark Knight, getting ready to set it up in flames. And that's why he was in there saying, I'm sorry. And then less than 18 hours later, hey, we're going Vegas blackjack dealer, and the Raiders release him. Friday night, we had that great slick black and white Nike-looking commercial or fragrance commercial or whatever you want to do. You can have some fun with that. If I'm Saturday Night Live for one of my first episodes, I'm getting that in as well, having some fun with a voiceover there. But it all ends, and there's a lot of talk of collusion and problems. Look, Drew Rosenhaus's job is to look after his guy. So as soon as it looked like this was going to be untenable, if he wasn't calling the other 31 teams around the or 30.
Well, probably that's collusion
Pittsburgh.
Then if he's calling them.
No, it is. But is the NFL? But is the NFL going to do anything about it? No.
No, because you can't prove it.
Right.
It's not what you know and suspect and what is most likely. It is what you can prove. And with Antonio Brown, when he went and apologized to his teammates and Josina Anderson said, oh, he had an emotional apology. The only thing I could think of was when I was a little kid and I would go hit or bother my uncle or my dad and they would put me in a headlock or a wrestling move and I would start crying and I would say, let me go, let me go. And they would say, are you going to stop? Are you going to stop? And I would say, yeah. And then as soon as they let me go, I go, psych, and start again.
And then you sprint across the room and dive back on top of them. Sure, it's an age-old move.
Yeah, and that's what Antonio Brown did. But ultimately, what he did is he pulled a LeGarrette Blount. LeGarrette Blount, when he was in Pittsburgh, he wanted out. He thought that the situation with him and Le'Veon Bell and Mike Tomlin was going to be different. He wanted out, blew up the situation, and then goes to the Patriots and gets another Super Bowl ring after he had just left there the previous season. This is what Antonio Brown did. He found himself in a personally untenable situation, regardless of the fact that it was self-inflicted.
Right?
All of his moves were self-inflicted. The helmet was self-inflicted. I get it. You want to wear your own helmet. However, the NFLPA was against you, and the league was against you.
Well, and you knew
you're
for a year.
You're not going to win.
You had a year.
Yeah, you're not going to win that
right?
situation.
And then people tried to call it like it was racist against him. Like that was thrown out as plot points. Like, no, Rodgers, Brady, all these
Everybody
other guys moved,
had to change their helmet.
And you can always, like, look, we can always look for the other side. All right, who do they have contracts with? What's certified? Whatever else. You want to do the deep dives on all that. Have fun. And part of it was he was also looking for shopping for the best deal and endorsement for a helmet along the way as well.
I think that was a byproduct of it. I do believe that he was genuinely attached to this helmet. You know, some
it's
players have this.
Sure.
Yeah, it's his blankie. He's Linus carrying it around. So I think he was genuinely attached to it. But then once he had to change it, I do think it became an economic opportunity. And he took it because he posted on his social media about him finding a new helmet. It was all done. So, you know, he was endorsed for that. He's being paid for that. So that's the first thing. But then when it came to the situation in Oakland, so many people are screaming conspiracy and they're screaming, oh, Antonio Brown, oh, business is really booming. I'm saying, no, the man lost $21 million in guarantees. And people say, oh, well, he's going to make $15 million this year. We don't know what those incentives are like.
Right.
So he got a $9 million signing bonus, $1 million base salary, and then he has $5 million in guarantees. I'm sorry, in potential incentives that
and
he could reach.
Performance clauses,
yeah.
Both in terms of his football play and in his character.
Correct.
And team ability. Yeah.
And the reality is he won't be back with the Patriots next year. This is what the Patriots do. They are antiquity shoppers who go to garage sales. They are dumpster divers. They are thrift store people who try to find hidden gems. That's what they are. They shop in the scratch and dent bin. We've seen it for years. Mm-hmm. They find value in players, even if it's for 1 year or 2 years, like even Randy Moss. When he went there, they found value. And are they going to sign you long term? No, they're not. They're going to let you go the same way that they did with Deion Branch, who was their Super Bowl MVP. Let him go. Whoever else, Richard Seymour, still one of the best defensive tackles in the league. Trade him to the Raiders. They do not break from their model. And I am curious to see how Antonio Brown is going to fit there because he likes being a superstar. And he likes doing what he wants to do. And in New England, every player I've ever known that has played for Bill Belichick or played for New England, they don't like Bill Belichick, but they respect Bill Belichick for his work ethic, his attention to detail, and how prepared his teams are. But he does not treat anybody like a superstar. And Antonio Brown wants to be treated like a superstar. And he's not going to get that in New England. So I guarantee that conversation with Drew Rosenhaus and with when they got on the phone with AB was like, listen, don't bring that over here. Because the second you tweet from our locker room, send something out,
right,
you're out of here. I promise you that. And Bill Belichick, the GM, the head coach, the person that runs the actual Patriots, will get him out the door and kick him to the curb, and that'll be the last big money guarantee that he ever sees.
Well, and it's funny because as this started to develop in the middle of the week, all the jokes, we did it on air, and you certainly saw it in social media, was, watch, he'll end up with the Patriots. And it was just the, to that point of, bring them in, you either come into the system, you either straighten up, fly right for the year, 2 years, whatever yep. it is, or you go on your merry way. Some speculating that when the deal is finally announced, as the new calendar week begins, that perhaps it looks kind of like Darrelle Revis's, where it's actually a 2 year, but that second year is voided, and there's, in terms of the money situation.
Oh, that way they can amortize it
exactly.
Over a longer period.
So maybe that's how this one ends up being structured. But either way, to your point, you're also looking at a handful of teams in the league that have the structure that can take on an Antonio Brown.
Yeah.
Like with Oakland, it's the roll of the dice. You love the top-notch talent, but there's no proven record there. Mike Mayock coming down, and look, they basically showed him to be an empty suit in this entire process. And then John Gruden.
See, I thought that until I saw that they fined Antonio Brown $215,000.
Well, until they came back on Friday. And it's like, all right, so what changed? Right? Because you got the whole week where it's you basically taking him out and it's John Gruden's going to get what John Gruden wants.
Yep.
And then somehow there's now a $215,000 fine. What transpired behind the scenes? I still think there's probably something we didn't see beyond the social media.
Oh, for sure.
To get to that, to yep. get to that point, right? Because even Wednesday's thing got brushed out so fast, yep. right? Between whether you consider what he said a slur or not and the severity of that. Yeah. But threatening to punch him in the face is kind of a big deal Correct. In front of your team.
Correct. And you had so many people coming out saying, oh, if I threaten my boss, I'm getting fired, blah, blah, blah. But in reality, your business that you work at, mind you, as unpopular, as uncouth, as like as wrong as what Antonio Brown did in terms of a regular business setting, the NFL entertainment, whether it's making movies, making music, any of this, it is about the bottom line. And they are about wins and losses. And the Raiders are in the business of winning. They are not in the business of like doing social justice. They are not in the business of acquiescing people's, you know, morals. They are in the business of selling t-shirts, winning games, TV revenue, fans, all of that. That's the business that they're in. And Antonio Brown helps that business. So you're going to put up with some additional things that he may do.
Well, and you do that in any business, yep. George. I mean, if a guy's producing, he's a salesman, but he's a bit off, and you hear stories from the road and whatever, even if he may be putting you in a bad light, if he's closing big deals, he's still there. I mean, yeah. you know, in our business, same thing. You might have guys that aren't necessarily the nicest, don't play nice sandbox with their teammates, but if ratings are hitting and sponsors are on board,
that's all that matters,
that's,
buddy.
That's it. I mean, yeah. just go job to job. It becomes the same thing. Special rules for special people, as they say. In this case, the Raiders finally divest themselves of Antonio Brown. He can't play in New England, but we'll get to the breakdown of Raiders Denver. That's where we'll kick off our week one, whip around these games. Hang with us. He's George Reister. I'm Mike Harmon. This is Fox Football Sunday, Fox Sports Sunday. We'll work on the naming as we go. But now we're going to turn it over to Isaac Lowenkron, our Chargers insider. He's going to go through and tell us what's trending around our sporting universe. What's up, Ilo?
Good morning, Michael and George. We've got a New England Patriots social media update coming up. But first, let's run down Saturday night's college football action. Number 6, LSU, victorious at 9th-ranked Texas, 45-38, as Tigers quarterback Joe Burrow threw for 471 and 4 touchdowns, including the clincher.
Burrow with the snap. Here comes the blitz. Burrow steps away from it, throws. Catch made! Justin Jefferson has it at the 38, racing down the far line, sideline, 10-5, touchdown, Tigers! 61-yard touchdown reception.
Chris Blair, the call. WDGL. California won at 14th-ranked Washington 20-19. Greg Thomas, the game-winning field goal with 8 seconds to play. USC upset number 23 Stanford 45-20 as Trojans' true freshman quarterback Keaton Slovis completed 28 of 33 for 377, 3 touchdown passes, no interceptions. In the NFL, Mike Garafolo reports that Washington running back Adrian Peterson will be inactive today against the Eagles. Well, a few moments ago, Tom Brady tweeted a video featuring highlights of all 6 of the Patriots' Super Bowl championships with the caption LFG hashtag week 1. Just for the record, Brady's video did not include a secretly taped phone conversation with Bill Belichick.
Well,
and
played.
Exactly. In a related story, here's the latest Instagram post from Antonio Brown. A cartoon of himself wearing a Patriots hat and shirt. The caption, "My ride is here," and it shows a bus pulling up driven by Bill Belichick wearing a hoodie with an extremely sinister expression on his face and a rather bulbous nose. And the sign on top of the bus is Foxborough. Unfortunately, in this case, Foxborough is spelled wrong. There's no S in Foxborough. But we will give Brown and his social media team a pass on that one. Back to Michael Harmon and George Reister in 10 seconds. But first, a word from Farmers.
Farmers Insurance knows the difference between a car hitting your bumper and a clown car hitting your bumper.
That.
Because at Farmers, we've seen and covered it.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Underwritten by Farmers Truck Fire Insurance, Exchanges, and Affiliates. Products not available in every state.
Michael and George, all yours.
Thank you, Isaac. We're here coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio Studios. Easy to save 15% or more on car insurance with Geico. You can go to geico.com or you can call 800-947-AUTO. The only hard part, figuring out which way is easier. I'm Mike Harmon. He's George Reister. Thanks for hanging out with us this morning. Follow George on Twitter, at George Reister, NFL vet, Oregon Duck, celebrating that 77-6 thriller against Nevada. You can find me over at Swollen Dome.
You're just hating because Nebraska, I'm sorry, because your team, Northwestern, which you are outfitted in right now,
that's right,
couldn't score 77 points in 3 games.
3? Did you watch the game against Stanford? If we get there in 5, I'll be shocked. But bye week this week. See if they can get healthy, get right, and figure it out. But yes, no, I certainly am jealous of the speed of your all 22. I'm just going to leave it there. Because otherwise I may start to cry between what Northwestern gave me, followed by what the Chicago Bears did on Thursday night.
You are a suffering fan.
Not a big,
are you a Cubs fan,
no,
too?
No.
White Sox.
A White Sox fan.
Oh, so you suffer, too.
Yeah, but that's the one thing. I mean, don't call me Mark. Guy from NCIS has stolen my name for all these years. Right as I started doing media, Mark Harmon and NCIS happened.
Oh, that's
happened. Funny. So I'd go do radio spots. We bring in Mark Harmon. I was like, no.
Have you gotten any plugs from that, though? I mean, have you gotten any perks from being Mark Harmon instead of Mike Harmon?
I've not used that. I should try to book, like, fancy restaurants or something off of that at some point.
Well,
if your
name was Michael Jordan.
Yeah, there's got to be something to that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny because when I'm going to let someone in, I'm going to let everybody in on what I used to do when I was young, when I was playing in the NFL. When I would make reservations at restaurants, I would give a name. I made up a name, and I thought it was kind of clever. I would say that my name was Rich Blackman.
I like that. That's good.
But when you say it slow, it's actually Rich Black Man. So
he's a man coming in. He's going to spend some money.
Yeah.
Everybody roll out the red carpet.
And I thought it was clever.
That's a good alias.
I thought it was clever when I was, 25, 26. But, as an older man with 5 kids and a wife, I'm like, nah, I'll just go by my name.
You're like, I got 5 kids. I'm not anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe.
Exactly. You do have to make different financial choices with your life as the kids grow up, as you're thinking about college and all that stuff. But I'm glad that I have a wife who sits up there and it's like, George, look, I understand that we want to do this. However, projecting out five years, we will have another kid in college. We already have one now. And then a few years after that, here comes another one. So let's start making good moves for that.
Look at you. financial solvency. We'll do that, and that'll be part of a podcast George and I do, where we'll show you investment strategies and how to stay out of debt. He's George Reister. I'm Mike Harmon here on Fox Sports Radio. And let's get to that Denver-Oakland matchup. We do have a change. Vic Fangio, defensive-minded head coach. You've got Joe Flacco in the Denver era. You know, during those home dates, you can add an extra 10 yards to his big arm. So maybe Sanders and Cortland Sutton can run under it. But all eyes are on Oakland because we finally pay attention to the other 52 guys that were on the roster.
Yeah.
Which this we haven't done the entire time. And Derek Carr, sullen at his locker yesterday from all reports, would not meet with the media, just kind of buried himself in the phone. And that was the big question about the leadership of the Oakland Raiders, where it's John Gruden and a void. Or at least that's what it appeared, right? Vontaze Burfict was the guy that had to try to hold Antonio Brown back the other day.
And everybody noted that. If Vontaze Burfict has to be the voice of reason, then you are way off the reservation. But in terms of Derek Carr and his leadership, I think he is a leader. I think that the people around him obviously respect him and his character. But after last season and the season prior to that, where he didn't play very well, like statistically, the team didn't win. Now you have to look at it and say, okay, he is essentially playing for his NFL starting career at this point. If he doesn't have a good year, he's going to backup status. He's not going to, he will be at best, if he doesn't have a good year this year, Ryan Fitzpatrick, a journeyman who is good when he's not the starter, when he is just kind of, when things are still in limbo.
Get a couple of games, but as soon as the tape's there and the tendencies get looked at, because you've seen Ryan Fitzpatrick turns into a pumpkin by Halloween.
Here is what he does. See, everybody has the whole Ryan Fitzpatrick thing wrong. If Ryan Fitzpatrick is in a quarterback competition, or he's not the quote-unquote guy, he's not our guy, he's not our starter, he plays well. Look at what he did with the Jets. As soon as they give him the contract and then they name him the starter, like he's our starting quarterback, like there's no possible switch during the season, a vote of confidence like that, that's when he doesn't play well. Look at last year in Tampa Bay when Jameis was suspended. So Ryan Fitzpatrick had to start. How did he play? Fitzmagic was there, right? Soon as he's named the starter, when Jameis Winston comes back, they're saying, no, we're sticking with Fitzpatrick. He's our starting quarterback. What does he do? He turns into a pumpkin. And then when Jameis Winston doesn't play well and he's got to come, Fitzpatrick has to come back in, what does he do? He plays well. This is who he is. And that's the same thing that you're going to have with Derek Carr if he does not have a good season. And John Gruden has put himself in a has kind of boxed himself into a corner because you trade away Khalil Mack, you trade away Amari Cooper, both are ballers, and then you go all in and on Antonio Brown. You get some good draft picks, but now you're like, okay, you're still, like you thought that you were, you know, pretty close to possibly being able to make a playoffs team this year. Now you're looking at this team and say, on Monday night, what are we going to get against Denver?
Right, your over-under for wins before Antonio Brown left was 6. That was with him in terms of Vegas odds as you rolled through. And Denver, while they're not world beaters, they still have a great defense and a good running back in Lindsey. Wide receivers, assuming Emmanuel Sanders is healthy, which he appears to be right now, that I think they're a surprise. So there's nowhere in the division for the Raiders to rise in terms of their wins anyway. But for Derek Carr, now he's in limbo, and really it becomes a potential full-on shift ahead of Vegas.
Okay,
right?
Denver is a 2.5-point favorite. Who are you taking?
I'll take the Broncos.
I'm taking the Broncos and those 2.5 and those 2 points, buddy. This is probably going to be a 7-8-point victory.
Yeah, you look at that. They are a 2.5-point favorite on the road, assuming the ridiculousness of the week carries over to Monday, and I have no reason to believe that it doesn't. He's George Reister. I'm Mike Harmon. Welcome in Fox Sports Radio. Coming up next, we roll through the next set of games. And, well, one of the most intriguing young players to hit the field, Kyler Murray. What's he running behind? And is he running for his life? That's next on Fox. Hey, welcome back in Fox
Return of the
Football
Mac.
Sunday. Well, you got to have the return of the Mac. We'll talk about Indianapolis and the Chargers coming up in about 10 minutes from now. But one of the games I want to get to, George Reister with me. I'm Mike Harmon. Thanks for tuning in, hanging out as we get ready for the full run. Week one of the NFL finally here. You're out tailgating, getting to and from services, maybe saying one up for your team and your quarterback, whatever else. Say one up for us as well. We appreciate you stopping on by. We know you got a lot of choices trying to keep it entertaining, informative, and get you ready for a big slate of NFL action. We got Detroit going to Arizona. A lot of eyes on Kyler Murray and the retooled Arizona Cardinals. Cliff Kingsbury, many just immediately dismissing, saying this offense isn't going to work, looking at a little bit of preseason action, and you had training wheels on Kyler Murray. They didn't show what Kyler Murray might be able to do. Do I think it's going to be a rough go over the course of a full 16-game slate? Sure, but off the jump, you get the first 20 plays scripted or thereabouts. I think there are a couple of surprises going to be mixed in for that Detroit defense once we see this guy slide behind what's a bad offensive line and get himself on the edges to make a play.
With Cliff Kingsbury, logic doesn't necessarily apply to people. You know, like, people don't like to apply logic to their statements and all of this. Cliff Kingsbury has a history of making good quarterbacks. He has a history of being a part of really good offenses. At Texas Tech, even though he didn't have the same amount of talent, his offenses were always good.
Right. They couldn't do anything defense.
Correct.
Right. And all of a sudden, you know, you look at it and you just take it for the one component part.
Yeah.
He got the job done.
Yeah. That. And then also that Cliff Kingsbury is one of the, he is a genius. I don't know what it is, but he needs to write a book about upward mobility. That's what he should call it, because I've never seen anybody fail uphill like he did. Mind you, he is a great quarterback guy. However, you don't win at Texas Tech. Part of it is not his fault, because he's in the Big 12, didn't have the same amount of talent. They're like the sixth best school to go to football.
And your alma mater never wants to fire you.
Correct. And then he gets the job at USC for offensive coordinator, doesn't even call a play, and then ends up as an NFL head coach. Mind you, that is a book all by itself, in upward mobility. Like, he needs to write it. It'll be a New York Times bestseller.
I like that. Moving on up with Cliff Kingsbury.
Oh, would you not buy that book?
I'd love to see the back tails if he's going to tell me everything that transpired in some of those conversations. Are you kidding me?
Correct. But with Kyler Murray, we already know that in the NFL, teams are very what they call vanilla in the preseason. They don't show what they're doing. And also, when you have young quarterbacks, teams like to try to confuse them with weird coverages and blitz them all the time. Like, after the game, he said, after his first preseason game, he said, "Yo, why are they blitzing me like this?" But you know that Cliff Kingsbury knows that these things are coming. And he knows what Kyler Murray's strengths are in terms of his escapability. He knows how great he is in terms of arm talent. So you're going to see a lot of him on the edges. You're going to see some bootlegs, because they have a really good running back in Johnson, who should be back healthy and not running scared.
Last year was tough to watch sometimes. Behind that offensive line, they had six guys go to the IR off the line early, and then you're running behind backups off a line that wasn't particularly good to begin with.
Correct.
So now he's second year removed from the injury. You still have Larry Fitzgerald, old reliable Christian Kirk, who's shown in spots. He's the guy I think you hang a star on if you're a fantasy owner looking at daily fantasy plays against this Detroit
secondary.
He's going
to be a boom or bust play.
Right? Because you're looking at that arm strength. We saw it on display a few times in the preseason, just little flicks of the wrist from Kyler Murray that were sailing 25 yards with no effort.
And you're going to see a bunch of screens. You're going to see a bunch of, like, weird kind of things. So Cliff Kingsbury is an offensive mind. He's a guy in terms of kind of like Sean McVay, who is an innovator in offensive movement in college and in the pros. So you're going to see different things that you have not seen. You're going to see a lot of screens. You're going to see a lot of quarterback movement to make sure that Kyler Murray, because he is short, to have good throwing lanes and opportunities to stretch the field downfield. So I don't think that the Arizona Cardinals are going to be a good football team this year. I think that Kyler Murray is going to have some struggles. But however, he's going to throw for over 4,000 yards. That's a guarantee. over 4,000 yards, and he's going to show flashes. This is going to be like if Patrick Mahomes started his first year. Instead of sitting behind Alex Smith, he's going to be a good quarterback, but you're not going to have some sort of magical 50-touchdown season.
All right, Matthew Stafford, Kerryon Johnson, and company real quick. Arizona at home, plus +3. Which side you taking?
I'm taking Arizona.
I'm taking them to win outright.
Yeah, because Matt Patricia's team, with the Lions, they've not proven that they can run the football. Matthew Stafford wasn't great last year. I mean, what are we supposed to make of this team until the Detroit Lions show that they've turned a corner? I will not believe that they've turned a corner.
Hey, great news. There's a quick and easy way you can save money. You can switch to Geico. It only takes 15 minutes to see if you can save 15% or more on your car insurance. Go to geico.com and see how much you could save. Coming up next, Kansas City. What's Mahomes do for an encore? That's next on Fox.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Yeah, baby, here we are. Hour two of the program, Fox Football Sunday, week one. We've got one game in the books, 15 more to go. Today we will get to see 13 of them, capped off by New England and Pittsburgh renewing the old rivalry, Brady, Roethlisberger. And what I'm really excited about, bring in George Reister, NFL veteran, former Oregon Duck, you got me at Swollen Dome, he's at George Reister, is that we finally talk about all these teams that flew under the radar all offseason. It was all Raiders and Antonio Brown. It was all bluster out of Cleveland between Odell Beckham Jr. and Baker Mayfield and fighting windmills everywhere you go. We talk a lot about Kyler Murray, the Bears, and what do they do after double doink. It was all about the kicking position, which is kind of funny, which, I mean, I'll ask you, put you on the ledger. I mean, all ex-players, all they tell me is they hate kickers. So should I just put you in that column as well?
No, NFL players don't hate kickers. NFL players hate bad kickers.
Okay.
That's who they hate. One of my best friends that I played with all the time was a guy named Josh Scobie. He was a really good kicker. He was reliable.
He had a good run. He was a good fantasy player for us for a while.
Nobody hated Josh because Josh made tackles. He made big kicks. If you do that, everybody will like you because you have one job. So nobody's going to feel sorry for the guy who misses kicks after everybody else has been getting their butt kicked all doggone day. And then you come in and you have a 35-yard game winner. And the other thing that makes people mad about it, players mad about it, is that they don't seem to practice very much. And we don't understand like leg swings and how much that your leg actually needs to rest. How much should you be working? And, you know, like it's not okay for the kicker to be at like golfing lessons while everybody else is practicing. And then you turn around and miss kicks. That's why the best job in all of football is being a punter. Because you don't have, there's no game winning punt. All you have to do is just don't drop the ball. Don't drop the ball and, you know.
Don't drop it, don't shank it.
Exactly. That's all you have to do. There's no game winner. There's not a whole lot of pressure as associated with kickers. So out of those two jobs, I'm taking punter.
There you go. I just remember going to all those training camp visits that I would do, and you'd see the kickers doing trick shots. Some of them would actually ride around in golf carts handing out water instead of
working on the dude thing. Like they are dude perfect. The YouTube guys who do all the trick shots and inventive things because they're just standing around. And when your mind is, you know, when you don't have stuff to do, your mind will find stuff to do.
Well, idle hands, the devil's playthings, as they say. Hey, we're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. You can visit geico.com. Get yourself a free rate quote. Developing story out of our nation's capital. You got Washington. They're on the road at Philadelphia. But a little bit of drama as Adrian Peterson is going to be inactive against the Eagles. Eagles 10-point favorites at home for this one. And reportedly from Mike Garafolo, the veterans in the locker room are unhappy. Look, they're already unhappy about the Trent Williams situation. We talked a lot about Ezekiel Elliott and Melvin Gordon, right? We talked a lot about those holdouts and contract. The Trent Williams story, and even for a long time before it really bubbled up for 48 hours, Jadeveon Clowney, those two holdouts were barely talked about except in their local markets. But when we're talking about this, now Adrian Peterson obviously doesn't play special teams. You've got Darius Geis as your number one. coming off of the injury, right? ACL a year ago and expected to be their workhorse. But now you got the veterans rising up and reportedly unhappy. Jay Gruden, seemingly a bit of a lame duck as we go. We talk about an unsettled quarterback position and a roster. I'm excited to watch Terry McLaurin play out on the wideout, but can he get the ball?
This is a roster and a franchise in turmoil. You know, they've had issues with the medical staff, with Trent Williams, with Colt McCoy, Alex Smith. I mean, just all over the place. And now you have the players upset because Adrian Peterson is not active. That says one thing. When players get upset about players not being active, almost like when in the Super Bowl, when
Malcolm Butler.
Yes, with Bill Belichick made him inactive. They know the good players. And if they believe that a player is not being treated fairly or they are not given the best opportunity to win, then they're going to be upset. So as much as they may think that Darius Geis is the future, as much as they may, you know, have Smallwood or, you know, Chris Thompson on third down playing special teams as well, you have to give your team the best chance to win. And the players know who the best players are to help them win. And Adrian Peterson is a veteran. He's well-liked. He's playing for money at this point.
Well, that's just it. He's more motivated than...
Correct.
It's not just about winning.
Yep.
Like, he might as well be the undrafted free agent at this point in his career.
Correct.
Fighting for every carry he can get. And he can run the ball between the tackles. Smallwood and Thompson are not doing that.
No.
So if Geis is not 100% and he's tentative coming off the injury and isn't performing, you don't have a guy you can now switch to.
But this
to
is
try
the business,
to keep it grinding.
Correct. But this is the business of professional football. There are numbers. There's 52 guys on the roster, plus the extra quarterback. And then when it comes to game day, everybody's not active. So they make six guys inactive. And then you're like, okay, so who do we sit? Who do we start? And it becomes about who's injured, who adds value. And that's why with the new CBA, not even to divulge on that.
Oh, no, you and I all do like a deep dive master's thesis for folks on that.
Yeah, but they need to expand the rosters. They need to expand the roster slightly to make sure that you can get the best product on the field. The way you can have the best players on the field and you don't have to worry so much about situational play. And that's what you have with the Redskins. They're 8.5-point dogs against the Eagles. And with so much dysfunction, they're playing in Philadelphia. There's so much hype around Wentz. People think he's going to be the MVP. Doug Peterson's a great coach. In this game, I'm taking the Eagles. I like stability. I like guys. I like teams and franchises who aren't fighting with their players. That is going to come out. They have a lame duck coach in Jay Gruden. I mean, I don't see a way aside from fumbles and Carson Wentz just throwing some errant passes that get tipped or overthrown that end up in turnovers that the Eagles not only win this game, but they cover the 8.5 points as well.
Yeah, I think it's an absolute blowout situation setting up here. And you talk about unrest and talk about the difficulties coming into a season. And then you get a divisional matchup right away on the road.
Yep.
Against a team that's hungry after what was an uneven 2018 season, a couple of lucky bounces. Yeah, double doink. And you go on down the line, but you look at their personnel. You bring back DeSean Jackson. You're talking about a great offensive line. Alshon Jeffrey had banged up a little bit. I'm excited to see Arcega Whiteside. I think he's a guy long-term for your fantasy purposes, has a big upside, might be a red zone factor for you today if you want to play a little DFS. And Miles Sanders, the kid out of Penn State, is going to be a beast. I mean, you saw the Jordan Howard potential trade offer that was on the table. Good to great running back, right? When we talk about what they were asking allegedly from the Chargers to make that happen. But you talk about Zach Ertz, there's just too much talent on that side of the ledger for me.
Yeah, for sure. We're both in agreement on that game. But we talked earlier about what games that we were most excited about, what games that we were looking forward to. Because I found myself with so much player movement, being less of a fan of a particular team and being more of a fan of those players and wanting to see how those players do. So the game that I'm most excited about that we talked about earlier was the Tennessee Titans at the Cleveland Browns. and the Cleveland Browns are favored by 5.5 points. And I am excited to see that game because my favorite college football player of all time, of recent memory, of all time, is Rocket Ishmael. But of recent memory and history is Marcus Mariota. Like, he's the perfect person. I love him as a football player for what he did for my Oregon Ducks. He's a great human being. If my daughter were dating him and they got in an argument, I would go to my daughter and say, "What did you do? You need to go make it right." That's the way it is. So and he's in one of those situations almost like Derek Carr is in. He's in the fifth year of his deal, and you're saying, "Wait, hold up. This is a fork in the road moment. He's either going to go and prove that he's a big time NFL starter, worthy of the second round draft, of the second overall pick, or he's going to be a career backup from now on." And you had all these people screaming, "Oh, when is Ryan Tannehill going to come in?" Ryan Tannehill, did you see what he did in Miami?
I was going to say, we've seen that. Well, and look, they should just run the Dolphins out of Miami. At this point, and we'll get to that game, and we'll probably give that about a minute and a half before it's all said and done. But the thing for Marcus Mariota, lost in the noise of last season, and we could certainly break down throws and everything else, they didn't unleash Derrick Henry until the end of the year, and you saw what he was down the stretch. He was an absolute monster the final month of the season. And they didn't have Delanie Walker.
Pound for pound
is one of the best tight ends we've seen in the last decade plus. And now he's back at full strength because he even chirped a bit. And I applauded him for going, "You forgot about me."
Yeah,
I kind of help things. I mean, he's a 90-catch guy if he stays healthy.
Correct.
And changes the complexion of that offense.
Everybody just screams, you know, Kelce, Gronk, but they forget about guys like Delanie Walker who are big impact players. But still, I don't love Mike Vrabel's the way that they run their whole offensive situation. They have Marcus Mariota playing in a phone booth. And in his career at Oregon in college, he had everything spread out, was able to make reads and make plays. It's almost like when you have great athletes, you want them to play in space. You don't want them to play in a phone booth. You want them to have as much space to read and make plays and improvise as possible, which you're going to see out of Kyler Murray in Arizona, I believe, with Cliff Kingsbury. And they aren't playing to Marcus Mariota's strengths. So I think that part of it is him, where he has had some fumbles. He hasn't thrown a ton of touchdowns. But a lot of that, I think, has been a result of the offense. The change in coaching, the change in coordinators has not enabled him to maximize his potential.
And what's funny is that you now actually have a couple of guys in that squad on the receiving core. When you look at Davis, Sharp, and Brown, those are burners on the outside.
Yep.
They're not slant guys. They brought in Adam Humphries to do that, and you've got Delanie Walker back down the seams. But you actually have those guys that you should be spreading the field. So it'll be curious to see if there's any evolution.
Yep.
To allow Mariota to maybe operate a little more outside the hashes.
Well, and then they're going to be missing their offensive lineman, Luan, for 4 games because he tested positive for a PED.
You got it.
So that's a big thing, too. But we also have to talk about the other team on the other side, which is the Cleveland Browns, who've dominated like the offseason.
It's a hype machine.
They won Super Bowl, the offseason Super Bowl.
Well, it would be the Browns and the Jets, wouldn't it, if we were just putting the offseason Super Bowl in?
Yeah.
Sam Darnold's a superstar in the making, and the Cleveland Browns. I just don't trust that Freddie Kitchens, if faced with adversity, think that locker room's going to get a little odd in a hurry.
He's a hard-nosed coach. Like, he ran them hard during training camp. He was they practiced in pads the maximum amount of times that they could practice in pads, where all teams don't do that.
Right.
So at some point in time when there's always a tension point in the season, like a stress point, and the great teams forge together and they go out and they win a lot of games and they gel. And the bad teams fracture at those points. So it's going to be interesting. I think you said with what Freddie Kitchens, when the team gets to that stress point, how he handles it, how he manages, you know, these big personalities. He's got Jarvis Landry, Odell Beckham Jr. He's got Baker Mayfield. And then on the defense, he's got some names and some and some, you know, premier players as well. So how are they going to gel? Because how many times have we seen, quote unquote, super teams or just hand them the trophy teams? They don't work out. It didn't work out with the Eagles. It didn't work out with Alabama last year. Just hand them the trophy teams. Teams that they can't be beat, they get beat.
I'm telling you right now, I called it before when we were doing our season previews. They're finishing third in that division, and they're losing outright today. Tennessee's beating them in a low-scoring game.
I will accept that. I will accept that, and I will be happy about that. I mean, especially they're five-point favorites. The Browns are 5-point favorites. I would be happy to see Marcus Mariota win. I would be happy for it. I don't care how it happens. Just win the damn game, get to the playoffs, and then go off and be a Hall of Fame quarterback is what I want.
Look at you. Now you're writing full-on scripts for him as you roll through. He's George Reister. I'm Mike Harmon. Welcome in. This is Fox Football Sunday. Coming up next, well, one of the teams we talked about a lot, an update on a contract situation, and what happens on the other side. Can they put up a fight? Yeah, we're going NFC East talking next here on Fox Football Sunday. Hey, everybody. Welcome back in. Fox Football Sunday. You're asking fantasy questions. I'll be around on Twitter at Swollen Dome. Coming up at the top of the hour and rolling through towards kickoff. Probably pop my ugly mug on video and yell about some of these games as well. But welcome in. And thanks for spending a few minutes with us. I'm Mike Harmon. Alongside me, George Reister, former NFL player, Oregon Duck. I'm wearing the Northwestern stuff. You got a not quite Oregon green, although they probably have a uniform in that mix somewhere.
Oh, for sure.
Shade of green.
Oh,
right?
So I have on almost like a military fatigue kind of green, yeah. And they usually wear that sort of color in their spring game. They do something with the military, then raffle off the jerseys after, and then donate that money to charity.
That's always a good thing. I always love to see those charitable elements when you're – and especially if you're going to churn through that many jerseys, you got to figure out a way to get the community involved. At George Reister is where you find him on Twitter. Find me over at Swollen Dome. Now we have the New York Football Giants and their quarterback conundrum against the Dallas Cowboys. Cowboys about an 8-point favorite. 7.5 is where I've seen it in some spots. Ezekiel Elliott expected to take on his normal workload today. We had the report earlier this morning that Dak Prescott won't get his contract extension before the season begins. Well, it's a couple hours from now, and the league office isn't open to rubber stamp anything anyway. But we're talking about that going into the season, and the question with Dak Prescott is, well, what is he? Well, in terms of your echelon of, is he a middle-level quarterback who just by virtue of when his number comes up gets a big payday, or is it a wait and see with Zeke Elliott and a full season of Amari Cooper?
He is a bottom second tier to third tier quarterback, because I put quarterbacks in different categories. I put him in one category. I put him in elite. There are elite quarterbacks. There are only 5 or 6 elite quarterbacks. And people try to say, oh, no, there's 10 or 12. No, there's not. Elite means special. And what I define as elite is a guy that you can take the game and you're on your 5-yard line with 2 minutes left, and you, in your mind, believe that he will win the game. And those guys are Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady, Russell Wilson, and Ben Roethlisberger. And no, Matt Ryan is not elite. He cannot, like, you cannot just put the game on him, his shoulders, and say, look, you got to score 45 points today to win. And he's like, okay, I'll do it. Even though he's got Julio Jones, even though he's got Devontae Freeman, whole bunch of weapons, he cannot do it. And when you look at Dak Prescott, can he go out and win games all by himself? Absolutely not. But is he going to pass for the same amount of yards as the Phillip Rivers, the Matt Ryans, or do special things like Deshaun Watson or Jared Goff? No. So he's below those guys. And then you're into that, you know, 15, 16, 17 type quarterbacks. And that puts you, and there are only 32 teams in the league. So you are even though he's a winner, even though he wins, he's still in that game manager mode. He is a Joe Flacco. That's what he's a black Joe Flacco. He's not.
So yeah, I mean, let's get to the idea, right? Play defense, run the ball.
Correct.
Right. And they've got a great defense.
And don't have him screw it up. He will do some occasional really good things. He'll make some plays because he is athletic. He is a reasonably accurate quarterback. When you look at his completion percentage compared to some of the other top young quarterbacks, his completion percentage is higher. So he's an accurate guy. But with Dallas, their offensive line is so good. They've been so good at running the football. And now their defense is pretty good, too. They got Vander Esch. They got Lee. They got pass rushers. They have a really good, solid team. And you need a leader. They respect Dak. So that's a guy that you do have to pay. But the thing I do love about Dak, though, he's handling his contract situation the same way Julio Jones did. He is just showing up to work and saying, look, I want my money, though. Well, Julio was different because Julio
the
said,
last couple of days, finally, you know, it came out that perhaps unless
no,
he got
he
his
was
money,
not gonna
he
play.
Wasn't going to play, right?
Yeah, so. But Dak knows, okay, I stand to make a lot more money. And he hasn't been hurt. He keeps himself healthy. The offensive line is good. So he's saying, all right, they're offering me $30 million now. The cap is going to be going up next year.
Right.
So there's more money available. And if I play well, and if we do any of the things that I believe that my team can do. So Dallas believes they're going to make the playoffs. And then if he can win a game or two in the playoffs, get to the NFC Championship, maybe even get to the Super Bowl, win or lose. You don't have a choice but to pay this guy. Because the alternative is, there are going to be no free agent quarterbacks because right. There never are.
If that happens, it's rare circumstance.
So then you draft a rookie and hope that he turns into that? I mean, that's just too big of a guessing game.
And reboot it. We were talking with Jay Glazer earlier in the week. He relayed a story about Dak Prescott and the leadership around the locker room of tapping guys on the shoulder going, we need you to eat better. We need you to do this better. And he is that guy.
He's a company man.
And they respond at this point. Yep. Players are responding to him. Ian Rappaport reporting that Ezekiel Elliott will see 20 to 25 snaps. So Tony Pollard, here's your time to shine. One note for Dallas, Travis Frederick returning from illness.
Oh,
one of the great
stories
of this offseason that went a bit underreported. I'll send out a link to an article I was reading the other day. Just his battle back, but you talk about money invested in an offensive line. That is what Dallas has done. Flip side, we've got the New York Football Giants, Eli Manning, Daniel Jones. They say Eli's the guy while they're in contention, whatever that means. As we go, we don't expect greatness. I do expect them to put up a fight today and be in the game. I think they are able to beat the spread, but Dallas wins this game at home. It's on the shoulders of Saquon Barkley to run through. He and Evan Engram are your two standouts here for the Giants in that battle. Now, moving to another game. You mentioned Matt Ryan. We've got Atlanta and Minnesota. Minnesota, 4-point favorite. Julio Jones is going to play. You've got Stephon Diggs with a hammy. Hang a star on it, but he's set to go. Kirk Cousins, as long as he's not in prime time.
I was just going to say that.
Normally comes to play.
I was just going
to
say that.
Great numbers, except when the big lights are on. But here you've got a potential over-under sitting at 47. I think we're expecting a little bit of fireworks. Regardless of, I like both these defenses for the long haul. I just think both these teams offensively equipped to make some hay. When you talked about everything with Atlanta, Austin Hooper as well, a bit of an underrated target at the tight end position. For the Minnesota side of things, I'm really excited to see what Dalvin Cook can do and if he can stay healthy to help move the chains.
I'm excited in this game to see Calvin Ridley. I want to see how he does in the slot for Atlanta. Last year he finished, I think, with 10 touchdowns, mm-hmm. had a good season. Atlanta's defense was completely just decimated by injuries. And that's the part why I say that Matt Ryan is not elite. Because if this were Russell Wilson, who is elite, he continues to get his team to the playoffs. And even with against all adversity, all circumstances, they tore down the Legion of Boom, offensive line bad, didn't have a top running back last year, still got him to the playoffs. Matt Ryan hasn't shown an ability to do that. And that's why, I mean, just the fact that this is not on Monday night or Sunday night gives Kirk Cousins a legit shot. But we're going to learn a lot about the Atlanta Falcons and Minnesota's favored by 3.5 at this point. I'm taking the Atlanta Falcons.
Taking the Atlanta Falcons. You're going to win it outright?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh,
there
yeah.
You go. I'll take Minnesota to win at home, but they do not cover the number. Coming up next, we'll continue rolling through games. We've got the Carolina Panthers, Cam Newton, his shoulder, but a retooled offense. Can they rise up against the LA Rams? That's the next game we look at here on Fox Football Sunday. But first, it's Isaac Lowenkron with what's trending.
Michael and George, an exciting night of college football on Saturday as number 6 LSU won at 9th-ranked Texas 45-38. Tigers QB Joe Burrow threw for 471 with 4 touchdowns. California won at 14th-ranked Washington 20-19. Greg Thomas, the game-winning field goal with 8 seconds to play. USC upset number 23 Stanford 45-20 as true freshman Trojan quarterback Keaton Slovis completed 28 of 33 for 377, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. This report presented by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. In the NFL, Mike Garofolo reports that Washington running back Adrian Peterson going to be inactive today against the Eagles. Adam Schefter just tweeted a detail regarding the Antonio Brown Patriots signing a few moments ago. He tweets that the Patriots tried to trade for Brown in March, but the Steelers did not want to trade him to a rival. So instead of having to give up a pick or picks, the Patriots obviously get Brown without having to compensate anybody here in September. And one final NFL detail tidbit to pass along. At 8:57 Cleveland time today, to give you an indication of how fired up they are for Brown season as they host the Tennessee Titans on opening day, NFL columnist John Krejci heard local Cleveland sports radio hosts literally barking like dogs at one another on the air today. Hopefully everyone's rabies vaccines were up to date. On that note, back to Michael Harmon and George Reister in 10 seconds, but first, a word from Farmers.
Farmers Insurance knows the difference between a car hitting your bumper and a clown car hitting your bumper.
Sorry about that!
Because at Farmers, we've seen and covered it.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Underwritten by Farmers Truck Fire Insurance, Exchanges, and Affiliates. Products not available in every state.
Michael and George, the pageantry never stops in the National Football League.
Thank you, brother. We'll address that Antonio Brown story here in just a minute. But we've got the Rams and the Carolina Panthers. The Rams, a slight favorite on the road. Cam Newton off the shoulder injury. You look at that offense. Greg Olsen eschews the broadcast booth for a little while longer, see how much they can get, see if his foot holds up, right?
Yep.
You've got Curtis Samuel and DJ Moore on the outside, Christian McCaffrey all world behind him, a solid offensive line, and now it just becomes, can Ron Rivera's defense keep the Rams at bay, and how much do we expect from Todd Gurley today?
They said they're going to, quote-unquote, unleash Todd Gurley. Yo, like, where was this in the Super Bowl? Who cares?
He couldn't run laterally in those final games.
Who cares about the regular season?
Right.
You know, yes, players are playing for stats. He's already got his contract. The Rams have to be eyeing the Super Bowl right now. So, unleashing Todd Gurley, the only thing that they should be unleashing is whatever they need out of him to win.
I'm expecting a lot of Henderson today.
Yeah.
I'm not buying that.
No way.
It's unleashing Todd Gurley right now.
No way.
This is you put him in mothballs until December, because behind Jared Goff and the weapons you have with Cooper Kupp coming back.
They are going to do the regular season version of wrapping him up in bubble wrap. They are going to make sure that he is healthy. They're going to play with him a little bit, but they're not going to. He won't be seeing 35, 40 touches. He may not even see 30 touches in a game this season. I don't expect a huge fantasy season out of him. I am super curious, though, what's going to go on with Cam Newton, because his shoulder was all jacked up, and I'm praying that that in the process of rehabbing his shoulder, that he fixed his footwork, because his footwork is what messes up his accuracy at times. And that's the only thing that I have not loved about Cam Newton. He's a winner. He plays hard. He plays hurt. But at the end of the day, your completion percentages have to be sky high. You have to take what they give you. And they have the best weapon, I believe, in the backfield in all of football, in Christian McCaffrey. He's a Swiss Army knife. He can catch the ball. He can run the ball. He can run routes. He is Marshall Faulk in 2019. I mean, he's a guy who may get 1,000 yards rushing and 1,000 yards receiving. He's that guy. If you can point to anybody in the league that has that possibility, it's Christian McCaffrey, who should have won the Heisman Trophy, by the way.
He was number one on my fantasy football draft board
you
for the year.
You and everybody else, buddy.
No, Saquon was everybody's still their consensus number one.
That makes no sense.
You and I could agree on that. We'll talk about that a little bit more.
Giants have nobody. They have no other skill positions. They have no wideouts. Golden Tate is suspended. Eli Manning's a lame duck quarterback. Come on, man.
No, I agree with you. I'm just telling you what the consensus was, that I was actually a contrarian when it all said and done. And we're looking at week one rankings, still Saquon Barkley number one on many boards. It'll never make sense to me. It's the one-minute game. Baltimore-Miami. Baltimore about a touchdown favorite, 6.5 the line at Miami. I would expect Lamar Jackson and company to take care of business. Mark Ingram. I like Justice Hill in the backfield. But it would not surprise me if the unconscious Ryan Fitzpatrick just started winging the ball all over the place and we saw something crazy unfold
I told you already. He plays well when he's not just the guy. And this game is one of those 265 games that you were talking
there
about.
You go.
Where you say it's like parents say that they love and they like their kids all the same, yet they love them. However, sometimes you like one kid more than you like another one because of what's going on in their life. And this is a game that I don't like. I don't like Baltimore and Miami. This game is going to be a footnote for me today unless something happens, unless I'm watching Red Zone with the other two games on, like I was saying, and then this game gets somehow intriguing. That's the only way I'm watching more than 30 snaps of this game.
Little bit of craziness always in the offing. Yeah, if you're in daily fantasy league and you want to take a price shot, you're getting Fitzpatrick at a song. Might be worth a look-see for you today. We're looking at Houston and New Orleans, also one of our marquee games. Deshaun Watson gets some help trading Bill O'Brien. Just put up an offer. That's a guy at the car lot, at the end of the month trying to fill quota of.
Yeah.
You make an offer, I'm going to find it. Clowney goes to Seattle. We'll get to the Seahawks coming up in about 5 minutes from now. But we look at Deshaun Watson. You've got DeAndre Hopkins. Will Fuller comes back. Kenny Stills, part of the offense. On the other side, Drew Brees gets another weapon. Last year it was Thomas. It was Kamara, third leading receiver. Ben Watson with 35 catches.
Wow.
They bring in Jared Cook.
Yeah.
Who could be a 100-catch guy for them if we go back to the old
I'm not a big Jared Cook fan. I mean, as a former tight end, I don't love Jared Cook because Jared Cook doesn't like to block. And I like complete tight ends. So
you and me both, but that's not what they need from New Orleans.
Like, while he has been productive, I'm talking about because I'm a person, like, I can respect a player's talents, but then sports hate them. Like
I understand that. Sure.
Like I don't like them as an athlete, but I enjoy them I believe that they have redeeming qualities as a person. But when you were talking about the Texans and trading
Trader Bill. Yep. That's all you need to call him. It's all good.
And I'm sitting here and I was thinking, that made me think about my life, where I live my life by a rule that everything is for sale, but everything ain't on sale. However, Bill O'Brien's rule is everything is for sale and everything's on sale.
Well, and a guy who obviously is in win now, whatever I got to do to improve my roster. But at running back, you've got Duke Johnson and Carlos Hyde. That's where I'm afraid. I mean, Duke Johnson's never carried the ball more than 100 times.
But he should have, though. Duke Johnson is an underrated back. When he was in Cleveland, he was their most reliable back. He's good out of the backfield.
Well, he's a great receiver out of the backfield. Now the question is, how do you manage that workload? Your offensive line, obviously, much better. And Deshaun Watson's got to get rid of the ball and not pile up sacks. Because there's some of those.
Okay, so.
So there's some of those David Carr sack numbers that come into play from back in the day.
Soapbox time for me.
There you go.
Duke Johnson. NFL players are, it's not just how talented that you are to know how successful a guy is going to be.
Situational.
Situation,
absolutely.
Opportunity, injuries, and Duke Johnson has been pigeonholed as a third down back, not given the opportunity. That's why he wanted out of Cleveland. So now he's going to have that opportunity, and hopefully the Texans don't pigeonhole him because they may have a diamond in the rough that it didn't work out with with Foreman there. Lamar Miller is hurt. So this is an opportunity, and I would not just assume that he's just a third down guy. This is a guy that you need to be productive if you're going to have a good season.
Explosive as a runner at times, and certainly as a receiver, we've seen him at his best. A bit of a fantasy ninja today because he'll be downgraded against New Orleans. New Orleans nearly a touchdown favorite. This is one to circle and one you'll be watching because the over-under sitting at 52. Coming up next, we try to run through the last of the slate of this week, week one in the National Football League, Fox Football Sunday. He's George Reister. I'm Mike Harmon, coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. Easy to save 15% or more on car insurance with Geico. Go to geico.com or call 800-947-AUTO. The only hard part, figuring out which way is easier. Pittsburgh, New England next here on Fox Football Sunday. Hey, welcome back in. Fox Football Sunday. Mike Harmon alongside George Reister having some fun with you. Coming up in about 10 minutes, I'll hit to the Twitterverse and start running through your sit starts. So get the fantasy football questions in. If I haven't answered yours just yet, we're kind of we're broadcasting here. So we're going through the games as best we can. It's obviously a lot of information. Week one, a lot of storylines that we've covered throughout the morning, George. And we talked a little bit, Cincinnati-Seattle, not to put a huge number on it in terms of how long we need to talk about it. You got the Bengals, no A.J. Green, Tyler Eifert back off injury, Andy Dalton in lame duck status. And then on the other side, you've got Seattle that they'll cobble together a winning formula no matter what behind Russell Wilson. Yep. New weapons at the wideout position, and people expecting the breakthrough from Tyler Lockett that you saw last year, how valuable he was downfield. But certainly no Doug Baldwin means new faces have to emerge. DK Metcalf, the guy everybody's looking at.
It doesn't matter.
You're just going all rock now.
You can set your watch by the Russell Wilson making the playoffs. You can just pencil the Seahawks in no matter how it looks, no matter what their roster is, no matter what the obstacles are. You, as long as he's out there every single game, you know they are going to the playoffs. The Cincinnati Bengals, on the other hand, they finally fired Marvin Lewis, and the team already looks worse. Obviously, because A.J. Green is hurt. I have Joe Mixon on my fantasy team, so I'm hoping he gets a big dose of everything because he wants to rock. Because you know what Joe Mixon wants? Joe Mixon wants what everybody wants, what we all want. He wants money. So, and if you want money, you must have production. He'll take 500 touches this year if they'll give it to him, because that will mean more yards, more statistics, more money.
They may need to do that. Catching the ball out of the backfield, that's the only way you see success.
9.5 points. 9.5 points.
I'll lay it.
Seriously?
Home favorites, I'll lay the 9.5 today.
In NFL I'll take Seattle. I'm afraid of needing a double-digit win in an NFL game. I am terrified of that.
Well, we buried Washington before. I'm going to take Cincinnati right behind them as we go. Buffalo and the New York Football Jets. I love me some Josh Allen.
What? No, downfield. You don't.
Oh, sure.
No, you don't. Dude, his family tweets me sometimes.
Do they?
Yes, because before the draft, I was talking about how big of a bust and a bum he's going to be. He is a running back playing quarterback.
He runs like hell. Yeah.
But the problem is he's a quarterback, Mike. Stop. What was there to fall in love with? Seriously, at Wyoming?
Well, there was a little bit last year to fall in love with is that he'll actually attempt a downfield pass.
Are you kidding me? There's nothing to love about Josh Allen. If you love Josh Allen, you should be over the moon about Mitch Trubisky. Josh Allen is a running back playing quarterback. He's not a good passer. When you go back to his high school days, his college days, he's never been accurate. He looks the part. He is a Maserati or a Ferrari with a Pinto engine.
Look at that.
All the stuff that you need to be a great quarterback, he does not have. And his family tweets me all the time whenever I say he's bad. And they're like, oh, yeah, no, you're such a hater. No, I'm just
an honest evaluator. I just like chaos, George. And that's what Josh Allen gives me when he's running for his life or winging the ball downfield. I'm not saying it's pretty. I'm not saying it's winning football. Mm-mm. But it's entertaining from my eyes.
This one, Le'Veon Bell, I need to be right.
What's that?
This is one of the few times that I just need to be right
about
a guy.
No, I get that. Le'Veon Bell back for the Jets, so we certainly have that. San Francisco-Tampa, one of the games I've got spotlighted. I love the Jameis Winston versus Jimmy Garoppolo angle. I'm a Bruce Arians fan, just the no-nonsense. I mean, they've got a lot of great personnel there. Basically a pick'em game with a 51 over-under. Indianapolis and the Chargers. Obviously, no Melvin Gordon, may report in 6 to 8 weeks. Badgley with a groin, probably not going to go. Yes, that matters in all of this. Jacoby Brissett comes in. Justin Houston added to that defense. Can Brissett win on the road?
Brissett was the starter 2 years ago, and I think with a terrible roster.
Yes.
And he was able to have some good moments. So I think that T.Y. Hilton does have a better year than he did the first time that Jacoby Brissett started. I like this team. Their defense is fantastic. Ballard, the GM, has done a great job building the team, aside from letting Andrew Luck getting beat up for all those years. So I like the Colts in this game.
Final one, Pittsburgh and New England. Patriots about a 6-point favorite. Tom Brady 5-0 at home against Pittsburgh. Ben Roethlisberger on the Slam This Sucker Down tour. You got like 5 seconds.
I got the Pittsburgh Steelers. They are not going to lose back-to-back years to the New England Patriots.
Brilliant. Fast-moving show. Fox Football Sunday. See you. Have fun.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.